welcome back to the American Revolution Podcast, episode 35, Pain and Common Sense. Well, we're back after Christmas break. It was a nice 2 weeks for me. I even got a couple snow days thrown in on my first week back to school, which was nice. But we're back to business. I have had some time to get some episodes in the can. We are ready to go. I got a nice lead on myself so that when work inevitably does get in the way, I have episodes to fall back on. So the next month's worth of episodes have already been pre-recorded. So any new information that I might throw in is going to be after the fact. So I really do apologize about that. It's actually funny. I'm recording this on Tuesday, January 9th, 2018. Tomorrow will actually be the 242nd anniversary of the pamphlet Common Sense. Now, this actually didn't plan this out at all. It just was a happy coincidence that now that we have finished the Northern Campaign and we're moving back to the New England area, that I just so happened to want to take some time out and talk about Thomas Paine. See, on January 10th, 1776, Common Sense is distributed to the masses. But we'll get to that. Thomas Paine is very much an unsung hero of the American Revolution. His words are actually a rallying cry for the Continental cause. Now, Paine himself was a man of modest upbringing. Born in England on January 29th, 1737, he received a modest education, that of a middle-class family. That will last until he's about 13 years old, when he apprentices with his father as a staymaker. Staymakers, for those who don't know, make corsets. But when he's 16, Thomas will actually decide to run away to the sea. This is actually his second attempt. Funny enough, he tried on one other time and had failed. But when he's 16, makes it, gets himself on a boat. Now, I guess the pirate's life wasn't for him, because after a year, he goes back to dry land. In 1757, he will take a job in a London store as a staymaker. But living in the big city, he actually takes some of his free time and will attend many lectures on Newtonian science and philosophy. He started to get really big into the movement of the new philosophies and sciences that were coming out of England at this time. By 1759, he would actually try and open up a shop of his own, but that shop fails. So he goes to work for the government in the customs office. But he'll actually get dismissed from that position in 1762 because he writes several essays talking about how customs officials are overworked and underpaid. And he tries to organize them into, I guess, a de facto union of sorts. But needless to say, the government is not a huge fan of that, so he gets dismissed from his position. But his essays on their own earn him some notoriety from the literary community. So Paine's name starts to go out there as, listen to this guy, you know, look at his writings, you know, listen to what he has to say. So his name is starting to be known in the literary community. In 1774, he actually decides that he's going to emigrate to America, and he happens to be heading to Philadelphia as his point of entry. When he arrives in Philadelphia, he's actually almost immediately welcomed by Benjamin Franklin. So Paine begins to settle into his new home. He actually earns an appointment to editor of Pennsylvania Magazine. It's probably helpful that he has a friend in a high place. I'm not going to name drop Ben Franklin. I'm just going to say, upon editing that segment of the podcast episode, that sounded so awesome. Kind of creepy, but super awesome. I'm just saying. Sorry, I digress. I've gone completely off topic. So, Thomas Paine is the editor of Pennsylvania Magazine. The war has come. And actually, on January 10th, 1776, he will pen his most important work, Common Sense. The pamphlet will circulate around the Continental Army. It was simple to read. Even today, the language is so simple and easy to follow. It's also short. It's broken up into four small chapters that observe the current structure and breaks it down so that it's very easily understood by even the most simplest reader. Now, you got to remember, not everyone in the Continental Army was a, you know, Rhodes Scholar or understood, you know, complex languages of government. What Payne does is he takes all that complex language and history of England, government, and the American structure and puts it into words so that even the person with the most modest of education could simply understand. The first chapter actually looks at the origin of government and how it's molded over time. Then he looks at the English Constitution, commenting on its functionality. The second part that he looks at is the monarchy of England itself and its hereditary succession. He also looks at this paradox that these leaders were supposedly ordained from God, but when you read the Bible, it says that all men are created equal. So where, at what point did we make this hard turn left and we made it so that some are made to be kings and all the rest of us are subjects? And that, to me, is probably one of the craziest chapters of this pamphlet, is the fact that he actually says, we read this Bible and everyone quotes it all the time, that all men are created equal. So why is there a king that is supposed to be so much better than all of us? He doesn't understand the paradox. So it actually blows the minds of a lot of people. It's one of those things like you just have that glass-shattering moment. And it's one of my favorite chapters. The third chapter, he basically just examines the present state of affairs in America. I can't put it any more simple than that. It's just this is what it is in America right now. The final chapter, though, looks at the ability of the Americans. Were they prepared for what was to come? So now we have started this fight for independence. Is America ready? The Continental Army is the lightning rod, and common sense is the bolt of lightning that charges it. So many people were on the fence about, do we break away from our sovereign? Should we become traitors to the king? Do we become rebels? It's a tall order for any person. You know, you got to remember, you got to be put in this situation. A lot of people, you know, stand back and say, and I'm not here to, this isn't a political podcast in the sense of New Age politics. Yes, we talk politics, but we talk politics in the realm of the 1700s, in the late 1700s. This is the status quo then, and we are not at that point anymore. So we're in a new age, a new millennium of politics. So when I tell you that we are not here to discuss current day politics, I'm going to break away from that for just 1 minute and say, and just ask people to think, what would you do if the government that you believed in and you trusted decided to turn around and walk over the rights of yourselves? You have certain rights as red-blooded Americans that you can trust in your government. What happens if that government decides to corrupt? Now, I am not here to discuss right-wing, left-wing politics. I'm not a person that's going to tell you, you know, every American needs a gun. This is not what we're here for. But I just want you to think for a minute. If it ever got to that point where America had to rise up again in another American revolution, another war of independence, could you do it? That's where these people are. You have to now turn on the government. And Thomas Paine, an Englishman, is saying this is what it looks like. This is how the English monarchy formed. This is how it sustains itself. This is what America looks like. Can you win the fight not only for independence, but the fight to create a new nation. That's what he asks. And that's what a lot of people suddenly realized. Yes, I can do this. Yes, I want to be a part of this. So a lot of people dropped the plow and picked up the musket. That is what Thomas Paine did for the cause. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. As for his war years, we're not going to even jump into post-war years yet. He continues to be in the service of the Pennsylvania Assembly, so he's not completely out of the picture. He's just not all the way involved in the story anymore. You know, he didn't pick up the gun. He decided to stay in politics to work with the Pennsylvania Assembly about what to do with Pennsylvania troops. So he was ingrained in the local government. But in 1781, he will actually travel to France to try and help secure more aid for the Americans. But after the war, he continues to write. The subject and title of his works were The Rights of Men. And he travels to France to work with the monarchy to try and strengthen that Franco-U.S. relations. But unfortunately, while he's in France, he actually finds himself in the middle of another revolution. He'll even spend some time in a French prison because he actually tried to plea for mercy for Louis XVI. He's released after a year, and by that point it's 1802, and he decides to return to America. He'll live on his farm for seven more years, but he'll die on June 8th, 1809. This is one of the great sorrows of the American Revolution. This man, in my opinion, was definitely a hero to the cause, but yet gets very little recognition. He dies in obscurity. There isn't this hero's burial. He doesn't earn some sort of great monument. He is buried in his farm. Common sense today, the lightning rod of the American Revolution, is still one of the best-selling American works, yet not a lot of people recognize the man who wrote it. And though his work lives on, I thought this in this episode would be important to really highlight the man himself. Now, I've read Thomas Paine several times, several different pieces by him. There is one quote that has definitely always stuck out in my mind, and that is, society in every state is a blessing, but government, even in its best state, is but a necessary evil. That really shows the complexity of Paine's, you know, process of looking at government. The people in a country are what make it great. The government, even if it's a great government, is just a necessary evil because it's been proven that utopian societies don't work. We can't have no law, no order. Men are infallible and corruptible, so there needs to be a regulatory force. And it's a necessary evil. But it's the people in that society, no matter what it is, that are what make it great, not the government. So that's going to do it for this week. Like I said, we are going to have a episode a week for the foreseeable future. I seem to have gotten myself caught up. Next week's episode, we are going back to Boston, and we are going to talk about the situation in and around Boston. So I just want to remind everyone, we have the Facebook. I'm going to go right to work on it. I'm going to put book recommendations up there. I'm going to recommend a work that really helped me with this episode, but I'm also going to recommend a previous work, and I'm going to label it as such. This way, you guys have something that you can go back on, things that I post, and say, hey, this was what I was talking about, and here's a book to back it up. I'm not going to do that for every episode because a lot of episodes are some obscure points. I like, you know me, I like to do my little obscure titles, and it, you know, is always fun. So that'll do it for this week. Instead of my normal send-off, I thought I was going to leave you with these words to contemplate. From Thomas Paine, my country is the world, and my religion is to do good. Mm-hmm.